This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We just went through a months-long discussion about the U.S. government's liquidity challenges. A discussion that was resolved, for now, with the suspension of the debt limit for a couple of years. The General Treasury, though, is not the only government account with cash flow problems. Since 2010, Social Security, a program that 67 million Americans rely on and that pays out more than $1 trillion a year, has been running a cash flow deficit. Dennis Jansen is a professor of economics at Texas A&M University, and he wrote about that Social Security shortage for The Conversation not too long ago, so we got him on the phone. Professor, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you.
So for those who either never knew or have forgotten, a quick refresher, please, on how Social Security in this country is funded.
Sure. The main way Social Security is funded is by a tax on wage income. It's 12.4% total, and it's split equally between workers and the employers of those workers.
And you write, and your co-author write in this piece in The Conversation that I mentioned up in the introduction, that Social Security basically is going to run out of money sooner than we thought. And my question is, how come?
Well, the Social Security is going to run out of money because the payroll tax is collecting roughly 13% of this taxable income, and we're spending more than that. The excess Social Security taxes that were collected in the past accumulated in a trust fund. The current law says that when the trust fund is emptied, benefits can only be paid up to the amount of taxes collected. And so, hypothetically, of course, the beneficiaries of Social Security would see a 23% cut in their monthly checks.
So look, let's play the hypothetical here. President Biden calls you, and he's got Kevin McCarthy and Chuck Schumer in the Oval Office with him, and you're on speakerphone, and they say, so look, what should we do? What do you say?
I think there's a series of plans that would basically close the gap and rescue the financial situation of Social Security. I think you're going to end up both cutting benefits and raising taxes.
But okay, wait, sorry. Let me just interrupt real quick because I'm obliged to interject here. The Congress of the United States, which really does not enjoy making difficult decisions like, oh, cutting benefits or raising taxes.
I agree completely, but I think the prospect of facing beneficiaries with a 23% or something cut in benefits would focus the attention and the mind.
So let's say this hypothetical conversation you have with the president and the leaders of the Houses of Congress happens tomorrow.
Sure.
Do we have enough time, do you think, before the trust fund runs dry?
Yes, we do. So we could raise the retirement age and basically index it. We index Social Security payments to inflation. We could index the retirement age to longevity. We would increase the retirement age by about 1 month every 2 years. Now, you know, whether that's acceptable or not, I don't know, but it seems like a fairly reasonable response. And that would close about 20% of the gap.
Okay.
We could
go ahead. Well, because there's 80% more of the gap you got to figure out.
I know. Well, so we currently index Social Security payments to the CPI.
Mm-hmm.
If the Social Security benefits were just indexed to the chained CPI, I know that's kind of a technical thing,
that's
it would close about 20% of the gap. And it would do it slowly, right? You're talking about changing the cost of living adjustment by a very small amount each year, but it accumulates over time. The last benefit adjustment, I think, is add another bracket to the Social Security benefit formula. So right now, you get a 90% replacement for a first small set of income that you've earned.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to 32%, and then it goes to 15%. For those higher income levels, we could have the replacement rate be a lower number than 15%. So this would close a third of the gap.
Right. So the wealthier recipients get less.
Would receive even
right.
less than they do today.
Let me ask you one more thing, and then I'll let you get back to your day job. I think it's the case that we only pay Social Security payroll taxes on like the first $160,000 worth of income, right?
That's right. That's also indexed, but that's correct.
Right. So that goes up year on year, but it does seem to make some sense that maybe increasing that would go some way, right?
Right. I mean, you could raise taxes on all wage income, but at the upper end of the wage distribution, there's been an increase in wages paid at the very top of the wage distribution. you know, there's some people making $10 million a year. I mean, right. I don't, maybe these are professional athletes. I'm not sure. And if you started taxing that much of the wage income, that would close a fourth of the gap right there. Right. And if you add up those numbers, I think you get basically to 100%.
Professional athletes, maybe, and some financiers and bankers, we all know. Dennis Jansen, who is, we should say, just for disclaimer purposes, a professor of economics, not political science, at Texas A&M. Professor, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.